Welcome to Empower Church. Thank you for joining us today. We are a church that has been called by God, set apart by Him, and bound together by His love. A church that aims to reach the community, the nation, and the world with a message of hope. We hope this message will build your faith, give you godly perspective, and leave you empowered to impact your community and the world.
Father, I pray, as hands are lifted high in this place and this morning, Father, I thank you that we are a people that want to see Jesus lifted high. We are a people that want to see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one that was and is to come. We want to see Him lifted high in this morning. And Father, I pray, Lord, let your Spirit come and rest upon the people. Father, that we may know, as you know, as you are, as you say, Lord Jesus, that there's a witness, there's a testimony, there's a power out over our lives. And Father, I thank you that greater is the power that lives inside of us than the power that is in this world. But Lord Jesus, we lift your name up. We honor you. We love you. We praise you. We worship you. In Jesus' name, all the hands up. Let's just honor the Lord just for 30 seconds. Let's just honor the Lord. Let's just honor the Lord. Come on, let's honor the Lord. Honor Jesus. Honor the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one that was and is to come. Come on, empower. Come on, give Him a shout of praise this morning. Oh, come on, let's do that one more time. Put all the hands together. Give Jesus Christ a praise offering this morning. Lift up His magical name. Lift up His powerful name, the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Why don't you look to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, today is a breakthrough day. Today, God is restoring my roar. God restores the roar. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's give Jesus Christ some praise. Come on. Oh, come on, I see you want to give Him more praise. Come on, give Him more praise. Amen. Look at your neighbor, say breakthrough is here. Say restoration is here. Say to the other neighbor, I'm chosen for a time such as this. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Oh, come on, come on. Oh, you look beautiful in power. You look beautiful. Just want to say that. And you're welcome to be seated. Thank you for the worship team. Won't you give them a God praise and God bless you? They were awesome. Come on, are you expecting in your hearts? Are you expecting? Good morning to again to all the guys that watch us online from all across Africa. Good morning to Cape Town. Good morning to Durban. Good morning to Secunda. Good morning to everybody. And good morning to every single one of you that sits in the house this morning. And I pray, we're a loud bunch. Amen. Heaven is loud. As it is in heaven. No. As it is in heaven. So we want to emanate, we want to duplicate, and we want to exemplify that, what God does in heaven. We want to do it here. We want to give Him praise here. We want to give Him honor here. We want to give Him love here. We want to celebrate Him here. Come on. And so this morning, I want to speak to you about restore the roar. Are you there? Come on. No, you can't go silent now. Save me. Restore. Save me again. Restore. Now, I want to speak to you about restore the roar. Because I believe that we are an hour where the enemy wants to have the worship, the enemy wants to praise, but we will give him none. We will only lift up the name of Jesus Christ the only name that can save you, the only name that can change you, the only name that can restore you, the only name that can heal you, the only name that can redeem you, the only name that can sanctify you, the only name that can choose you, the only name that's higher than any other name. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess our Jesus Christ. Come on, it's just not a name. It is a name higher than any other name. It is the name that the heavens move. It is the name that the earth bow down to. It is the name that angels bow down to. It's the name that demons shudder at. The name of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Come on. You don't serve just someone. You serve the One. You don't serve something. You serve the King. Come on, empower. Tell your legs to move with you this morning. Amen. Come on, you're hungry, so I'll give it to you full-fledged this morning. Listen, restore the roar. I want to start just by saying, you know, as I was preparing for this sermon, as I was preaching last night, everybody that's online, please share the gospel, get it out. And as I was preparing this, the Lord spoke to me about one of the most well-taught scriptures or well-preached scriptures, I would say, in the Bible. And the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but will have eternal life. And if you look at the scripture, one of the things that just catches my heart tremendously again is the whosoever and the whomever. In other words, Jesus doesn't save perfect people. He didn't come for perfect people. He came for people. That means every single one of you that sits in the seat this morning, you qualify, I qualify. Why? He didn't come for the perfect. He came for the broken. He didn't come those that don't count them without need of a doctor. He came for those that wants to be saved. Are you there? Are you with me? And so whoever and whosoever, the scripture catches me because whosoever and whoever based on omnipotence. In other words, God knows who will accept Him. He knows who will reject Him. And still, He did not hold back to give you His best. Bible says whosoever, in other words, anybody with the full knowledge of Jesus Christ, with the full knowledge, and here's the thing, everybody with the full knowledge that some will not choose Him, the Bible still says that God sent Jesus. He gave His best for people that will never accept Him, that will never worship Him, that will never accept Him. And as I was looking at the scripture, the Lord spoke to me about Hosea. And I want to read for you Hosea chapter number 3, because it's the scripture that emanates and speaks to me the best about what I want to get through to you guys this morning. In Hosea chapter number 3, verse number 1, the Bible says this, "Then the Lord said to me, go again, love a woman who is loved by a lover and is committing adultery." Hosea chapter number 3, verse number 1. It'll be up on the screens and everywhere, so if you have your Bible here, please turn there. But Hosea chapter number 3, no, that's going to take too long. Just Hosea chapter number 3, listen to me speaking. Hosea chapter number 3, verse number 1 says, "Then the Lord said to me, go again, love a woman who is loved by a lover and is committing adultery." So just like the love of the Lord for the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love the raisin cakes of the pagans. And listen to this. "So I bought her for myself 15 shekels of silver, but 1.5 homers of barley. And I said to her, you shall stay with me many days. You shall not play the harlot, nor shall you have a man. So too, I will be towards you." I want you to see verse number 1 again. "Then the Lord said to me, go again, love a woman who is loved by a lover and is committing adultery, just like the love of the Lord for the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love the raisin cakes of the pagans." And here was Uzziah's assignment. Here was his assignment. His assignment was to love Gomer. And what I want you to understand here about the scripture is this. Uzziah is a prophet. He is a seen man. He is well known. And God says, God wants to use him as an illustration. And God says, listen, I want you to go and marry Gomer. Gomer is a prostitute. She's lost. She's broken. She's messed up. Are you okay? Are you with me? And the Bible says that Uzziah marries Gomer. He marries a prostitute. Why does he marry a prostitute? Because God wants to send a message. And the message that God wants to send is that Jesus will pay everything to get his people back. And Jesus will pay any price to get us back. That's your price tag. If you ever wanted to know what your price tag is heaven. Your price tag is Jesus. And so Uzziah goes and he marries Gomer. And the Bible says for three years it goes very well. They have a good marriage. And for the first couple of years it's a good marriage. It goes well. But then one day, and I want you to listen, one day Uzziah wakes up and Gomer is gone. They have three kids. The marriage went well in the beginning, but now Gomer is gone. She left Uzziah. And the Bible says God instructs Uzziah. Listen what God says. Let me read for you again. Then the Bible says, verse number one, then the Lord said to him, go again. And love a woman who is loved by a lover and is committing adultery. Go again. In other words, Uzziah went the first time, but now the father is saying, go again. I want you to go again. And so Uzziah has to go again based on God's instruction. Are you guys with me? And the Bible says he starts to look for his wife. He starts to look for Gomer. Oh, come on. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying here this morning. But and the guys that are online, just share this. I want you to understand this. The Bible says that as Gomer is gone, she's lost. Uzziah is busy looking for her. He goes again. He goes again to look for Gomer. And the Bible says, if you study this, the Bible says he finds Gomer on the selling block. In other words, he first goes to the brothel, he first goes to the hotels, he first goes to the possible places that Gomer might be at. But then this powerful word comes through, is that Uzziah doesn't find her anywhere else. Uzziah finds her on the selling block. And in New Testament times, it went something like this. In New Testament times, when you were sold off, they stripped you. You were bare naked, butt naked, and you would have been sold to the highest bidder. In other words, as a slave, you didn't have any rights. As a slave, you were not called to be a son or a daughter. You were a slave and you had no rights. And so, this is the scene that Uzziah walks on. Uzziah walks into the scene of Gomer being sold off to the highest bidder. In other words, people are bidding for her. And suddenly, as people are bidding on her and people are trying to drive the price up, suddenly there's a voice familiar to Gomer coming out of the crowd. And it's the voice of Uzziah. It's the voice of her lover. It's the voice of a husband. And he shouts out, I'll pay the price. I'll pay whatever it takes to get Gomer again. You see, everybody else wanted to buy Gomer for their own gain. Uzziah bought Gomer to restore Gomer. Oh. And I don't know about you, but 2021 years ago, as we were on the slave market of this world, being sold off to the highest bidder, because the Bible calls you slaves to sin. That means somebody else needed to come and pay. That means somebody else needed to come and pay the price. Oh, come on, are you there? And 2021 years ago, when the enemy will see how much bound you were in your sins and in my sins, because you have to understand this, that we need to get the gospel. We have to understand this is, when I hear the voice of Uzziah, I hear the voice of Jesus. Because all of us were lost once. All of us were broken once. All of us are in need of healing. All of us are in need of restoration. Come on, I doesn't speak to you. And I want you to understand that the Bible says that when somebody wanted a slave very much, or wanted somebody very much, the owner of the slave would have driven up the price. In other words, they would have made it more. They would have made it more. The Bible says when you and I, we were slaves to our sins. We were locked up to our sins. And as we were locked up in our sins, the Bible very clearly says that Satan saw, the devil saw how much Jesus wanted us. And so as we were standing on the selling block, as we were bound in our sins, bound in our iniquities, bound, heading for hell, there was a man 2021 years ago that shouldered a cross, that walked up the hill. And as the enemy drove up the price, how much do you want them? How much are they worth to you? He said, I'll pay. And I'll pay the full price. The Bible said Jesus didn't pay a price, He paid the full price. Oh, come on, do you understand that? There was other people calling for your name. And I'm here to tell you this morning, there might be others, there might be sicknesses calling your name. There might be poverty calling your name. There might be shame calling your name. There might be your past calling your name. There might be your history calling your name. But there's a name that is calling your name, that is stronger than sickness, that is stronger than poverty, that is stronger than pain. And that name is higher than any other name. It is the name that is undignified. It is the name that is unashamed. It is the name that will stop for you. It is the name that will heal you. Come on, He is the God that stops. Oh, do I have your attention? He is the God that stops. He's the God that stops. You see, you might be like blind Bartimaeus this morning. And you've had a crowd shouting against you. And blind Bartimaeus, you must imagine this, blind Bartimaeus is sitting next to the road. He's sitting. And as he's sitting, he sits. He has his cloak around him. This cloak has protected him for all of his life. He hears the sound. He hears the sound of a crowd of people. And then as he has cloaked with what he has tried to protect himself with, he hears the sandals of the one that they call Jesus. He hears the sandals of the one they call the Messiah. And he shouts out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the Bible says that the people shout back, keep quiet. Shh. Much like life. Keep quiet. Shh. But this man, he personifies most of us. This man shouts louder. He says, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the crowd is trying to keep him quiet. And he has made up his mind. He's not going to leave this moment without an encounter. And he shouts even louder. And the Bible says, Jesus stops. And he turns around. And the same crowd that made him keep quiet are the very messengers that Jesus uses to bring him to his freedom. He says, and the crowd comes, oh come on, the crowd comes, and they say, be of good cheer, He is calling you. And that man throws off the cloth, and he comes to Jesus. I want you to know this Jesus. I want you to know that this Jesus that you serve will use the very thing that your enemy has used against you. He will use it as a vehicle of the greatest transportation of your healing, of your restoration, of your comeback, of your setback. You might have been set back, but Jesus has had a comeback. There might have been an illness, but God is coming for life and life abundantly. Come on, do I have someone? Oh, come on. Do you understand what I'm saying? Listen, you might have had a moment in time. Or you can be like Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was rejected by the people. He went out on a limb for Jesus. Jesus stops at Zacchaeus' tree. He looks up He says, Zacchaeus, come down from that tree. Because you don't need to sit in the tree. Because I'm going to hang on one. Come down from that tree. Because you are going out on a limb for me. I am going to go out on a limb for you. Come down. You see, it is the message of restoration. And I want you to see what God says to Isaiah. He says, go and find her. Buy her back. Redeem her. Restore her. Renew her. Go buy her back. I want her back. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Listen, I don't know where you are this morning, but what I do know is that there's no situation, there's no pain, that there's no trouble. There's not a devil in hell. There's not a situation in hell. There's not a pain in hell. There's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. No demon, no principality, not your past, not your failures, not your circumstances, not your surroundings. Nothing can ever separate you from the love of God. Listen, you are not your past. You are your future. Do I have witnesses with me this morning? You are what Jesus say you are. You are not what the devil say you are. You are what Jesus says. You are not your sickness. You are not the poverty. You are not the pain. Send it back. Who told you it's yours? We often say, my sickness, my poverty, my pain, my circumstances. Who told you it's yours? Who told you? Because they've lied to you. It's not yours. Last time I checked, the Bible says, Father, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done as it is in heaven. Let it be so on earth. There's no sickness in heaven. There's no poverty in heaven. None. Are you there? And in this hour, we have to be a loud people. Come on, guys. Are you guys with me? We have to be a loud people. And this is where I hear Jesus. Jesus finds the one. Oh, let me say it like this. I want to create an image for you in your mind. In Mark chapter number 5, most of Jesus' miracles happen by interruption, by the way. Jesus is on his way to Jairus' daughter. He walks through the crowd, and as he's busy walking through the crowd, the Bible says a lady comes with the issue of blood. As I read that last night, God spoke to me. How often does society, our circumstances, and what we go through not want to label us? The lady of the issue of blood. Prostitute Mary. Doubting Thomas. Betraying Peter. Labels. The enemy wants to name you, to shame you. God wants to rename you, to set you up for your future. You see, because in every single one of you is sitting here this morning, you have a name that He has given you. The enemy wants to give you a label. God doesn't do labels. God gives a name. Listen, the Bible says this, the old you are dead. It's no longer you that live. It's Christ that lives inside of you. So for every Jacob that sits here, there's an Israel. For every Simon that sits here, there's a Peter. For every Saul, there's a Paul. God is the God that comes through time and time and time again. And what you're seeing here today is a day that we can celebrate together, because our God lives. He's alive. He's well. Are you there? You don't serve a God that is dead. You don't serve a God that is wanting. You serve a God that is alive. Oh, come on. I want you to see this picture. So Jesus is walking through the crowd. Society has labeled this lady, the lady of the issue of blood. Jesus walks. He's just walking. But she's made up her mind. This is what she's saying. She says, listen, I need to get to his robe. I need to get to him. She touches him at his backside. You must understand, he has a robe. She touches him at his backside. And the Bible says he stops. again, he stops. He turns around. And I want you to see something here that most of you would have never even seen. He turns around, and here is the lady of the issue of blood. But that's not the terminology that Jesus uses. The whole community, you have to understand, she would have risked everything to be inside the crowd because she was unclean, she was sick, she had no business being there. She risked her life to get close to Jesus. Communities would have labeled her. This is the lady with the issue of blood. This is the lady that no doctor could help. This is the lady that's unclean. You have to understand this. When you were unclean in New Testament times, they would have called you cursed. They would have called you names. Like so many Christians are doing again today. We are labeling people. We are labeling things. Listen, Jesus didn't come up to set up a religion. Jesus Christ came to set up a kingdom. It's a whole different story. We don't belong to a religion. We belong to a kingdom. And here the master is walking, and the Bible says the lady pushes through and she grabs hold of his garment. And I want you to see his terminology. He turns around and he says, daughter. He does not say, lady of the issue of blood. He does not say, why have you interrupted me? He doesn't say, lady that no doctors couldn't help. He doesn't say broken. He doesn't say in need. He uses the family term, daughter. Why? Because he wants her to know that he's not counting her lack against her. He is wanting her to know, listen, I understand that you have a lack, but I count you into my family, daughter. He's the one that looked at Simon and says, Simon, I know that you're going to betray me, but I call you Peter. He's the God that looks at Esau or looks at Jacob and he says, Jacob, I know you are a swindler, but I'm going to change your name to Israel. God is the God that takes hold of you and he shapes you and he molds you and he calls you as you are according to your future. God is the only God that will not deal with you according to your now. He will deal with you according to your future, because greater is he that's living inside of me than he that lives in the world. Come on. And so you have to understand this. Jesus stops and he asks two questions. He says, where is she who touched me? Where is she who touched me? Where is she who touched me? The disciples are freaking out. They're like, Jesus, everybody's touching you. It's like, no, you don't understand. Somebody touched me. The whole crowd stops. She knows for 12 years, listen, for 12 years, she was the one called unclean. For 12 years, she was called impossible to heal. But now Jesus stops the procession for one person. You see, the one will never make sense for you unless you understand Jesus will stop the 99 and go for the one. It will not make sense for you. Why will he sweep the whole house and go for and look for one coin? It will not make sense for you. Why will Jesus stand on the mountain and wait for the prodigal son? None of this will make sense unless you are the one. Unless you are the lost coin. And unless you are the prodigal son. And I'm telling you the truth this morning. There are many people that need to return to the house of the Lord. There are many people that need to return to Jesus. Because he's still saying, daughter. He is still saying, son. He is still saying, listen, I know that you have feet of clay. I know that you're going to mess up. I know that you're going to betray me. You see, most of us say, never, never, never. We're like Peter. We say, never, never, never. This will never happen to you. Matthew chapter number 16. Lord, this will never happen to you. Jesus says, I need to go to the cross. Peter says, never. Jesus says, everybody will betray you. Everybody will betray me. Peter says, if everybody betrays you, I will not betray you. Never. Peter used that word, never. He uses the word, oh my, never. The word, oh my, in the Greek, it's strong. It's the word, never, ever, ever. No, never, never, never. Never. And that's not the truth. Because Peter betrayed Jesus. Oh, come on, are you there? But then you go a little bit later on in your Bible, Hebrews 13:5. and you hear the Master's voice, He says, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. No, never, never, ever, ever, never. There will not be a time. There will not be a moment. There will not be a pain. There will not be a sickness. There will not be a circumstance. There will not be a past event. There will not be trouble. There will be nothing but nothing that nothing that will make me leave the scene. I am the God that is present. I am the God that is with you. I am the God that's all around you. I am the God that goes ahead of you. I am the way maker. I am the history shaper. I am the God that changes your yesterday into your tomorrow. I am the God that heals you of your infirmities. I am the God that does not count your sins against you. You see, the thing about Jesus is this. Either we believe that His blood can pay it all, or we must stop this right now. He either pays it fully or none at all. And I'm a firm believer that He pays it all. Come on, give Jesus Christ a praise offering. Come on, empower. Oh, come, 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 come. You see, let's bless Africa. Father, I pray for Africa as they go this morning. Africa shall be saved. It will not be known as the continent of darkness. It will be known as the continent of light. And Father, I speak over Africa once again this morning. Africa shall be saved. This nation, South Africa, shall live in Jesus' name. And if you agree with that in power, say amen and amen and amen. God bless you, Africa. As I was studying here, Isaiah chapter number 3, verse number 1. I just want to drive this home that you can catch this. Jesus comes onto the scene. Help me with the keys. Jesus has come onto the scene. He has done nothing good. He's done nothing bad. He just arrives on the scene. And God the Father hollers from the throne. People online, talk back to me. God hollers on the throne. He says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. But wait a minute, God, He has done nothing. This is my beloved Son whom I'm well pleased, but He has done no miracles. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, but He has done no wonders. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, but He's done no signs. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, but He has not done anything yet. I know this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. You have to understand, the gospel is about the Father affirming you based on what Jesus did. The gospel is not about what you will do for Him. The gospel is about what He did for you. You don't need to take the stripes. He did. You don't need to take the wounds. He did. You don't need to take the sickness. He did. You don't need to take the judgment. He did. You don't need to take the betrayals. He did. You don't need to take the wounds. He did. You don't settle for average because there's nothing inside of you that speaks to normal. You have a God that called you by name. Oh, come on. He called you by name. Don't settle for normal. Who told you it's yours again? Who said to you it's your sickness? Who said to you it's your poverty? No, 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 no. Send it back. It might have run in your family until it runs into Jesus. Come on, are you there? And so this is what I want you to say. Jesus is our Hosiah. You see, the gospel is all about becoming and become, became, become, became, become, became, become. He became our sin that we could become the righteousness of God. He became betrayed so that we can become secured. He became wounded so that we can become whole. You have to understand, everything about the gospel is He became so that you can become. He became your wounds so that you become healed. He became so that you can become. Oh, come on. Do I have somebody speaking with me? Oh, come on. Let's give Jesus a round of praise, please. Everybody that's online, talk back. Come on, guys, share those streams. Listen, give me your attention just for a moment. In Acts chapter number 28, we find Paul the Apostle. You see, we believe somewhere there came a thought in about Christianity, that if you follow him fully, you will not get bitten. Somewhere there came a Christianity in that says that if you follow Jesus, everything is smile and roses. No, not like that at all. If you follow Jesus, he's going to ask for your life. It's going to cost you your life. Yeah. And so Paul is obedient. He needs to appear in front of Caesar. And the Bible says before he appears in front of Caesar, he gets thrown into this huge storm. And I want you just to see something. He gets thrown into this huge storm. And he gets thrown off over the boat. And he grabs hold of wood. And as he grabs hold of wood, he drifts. He drifts. Listen to me carefully. He drifts to the shore. And as he is at the shore, he starts to build a fire. And as he builds a fire, a viper comes and bites him. Now listen to me carefully. The people sit around. They watch him. They say, ah, he's a murderer. Though he survived the storm, justice prevailed. Bitten by the snake. Now they wait for Paul to swell up and die. And Paul does not swell up and die. Now the people that are watching him, watching for his decay, watching for him to get broken, watching him to lose everything. You see, you have people in your life watching on. Come on, can I have some real Christians here this morning? You have people in your life, they wait. They say, ah, he survived the storm. So they survived that. Let's see if they can survive the bite. And then the snake bites, and Paul shakes it off. See, what happens here is this. Now they wait. Now their mind changes because they say, he's not dying, so he must be a god. He was a murderer just now, but now he's a god. How's that possible? Same crowd, two different opinions. You see, people like you. When you are in chains, they like you. When you are broken, they like you. If you can't be fixed, they like you broken because it makes them feel better about themselves. But listen to me. If Paul held onto the snake, the poison would have entered the promise. The promise was you must appear in front of Caesar. The poison was in the snake. The promise was in Paul. And the devil tries to make a transfer from promise to poison. And Paul will have none of it. He says, I am not the poison that has happened to me. I am the promise that's going to happen through me. Oh, did you get what I just said? You are not your pain. You are the promise of God. There is nothing in hell, nor on the earth, nor in people that can stop the promises of God. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus. Am I talking to someone here this morning? You might have been bitten, but it's not over. Shout that with me. It's not over again. Oh, like you believe it. Yeah, let the devil know it's not over. Come on, can I go for 5 minutes more? You guys have got nowhere to go anyway. It's not over. Now Paul is bitten. Please understand. And I'm going to say it while I'm here. The people that pointed the finger, when you point your finger at somebody else, you have stopped to do something. When you do this, you can't do this. No, let me say it like this. If you do this, you can't do this. Let's do that on that. Camera one. If you do this, you can't do this. If you point other people's brokenness out, other people's shortcomings out, you've cut yourself off from the source which you want from. It's true. Let's stop judging people. Let's start loving people. He didn't call us to judge. He called us to love. Our love should be extravagant, not our judging. Are you there? And I want you to see something now. Now that same hand that was bitten, the same people that says, I is a murderer, they take him to Publius's house. And that same hand that is bitten, that the poison couldn't enter the promise, that same hand gets placed on Publius and his whole family. Listen. Oh. The same hand that was bitten, same hand gets used. Same hand that was bitten now starts to transmit healing. You see, the devil thought, we throw him into the sea, he's gonna stop. No. Paul swam. Then they put him next to a fire. The snakes bite him. They say, let's put poison into his heart. Let's let him stop serving God. Let's let him stop serving the promise. Let him give up on the call. But Paul was more determined than that. Paul shakes off the snake. And God says, okay, let me use that has bitten you to raise you up. Let me use that what is against you to promote you. Let me use your wounds as victory marks for that I'm going to do through your life. Oh, come on. You have to understand, when Jesus appeared to the disciples, he said, look at my wounds. He didn't say, look at what I'm healing from. He said, look at what I've been healed from. Look at my wounds. And I'm here to testify to you this morning, as you sit here, you have a wound. But it's not what you've been wounded by. It's what you've been healed from. Oh, come on. Listen, in today's day, listen, the Bible, I want you to catch what I'm saying. Everybody that's online with me, listen, I want you to catch something here, because this is very important. Very, very important. I'm putting a lot of gospel stories together for you to prove one point this morning. They throw the lady with the issue of the lady, the prostitute, they throw her in front of Jesus. The Bible says she was caught in the very act. In other words, who is the sicko here? The lady that's sinning, or the people waiting for her to sin? Lady sinning, they pull her off. They throw in front of Jesus and say, look, we caught her in the very act. She needs to die. And they're right. They have stones in their hands. They're ready to stone her at her wrongdoing. But here's the problem. They picked up stones. They picked up rocks standing opposite the Rock of Ages. And with little rocks, they tell him, listen, she needs to die. And they write. Jesus stoops in the ground and he starts to write. And we don't know what he wrote. Many say this, many say that. I would want to think he wrote in the ground, I did not come to bring forth destruction. Some theologians say he wrote the sins down. We don't know. But what we do know is this. He answers the accusations by one word. He says this, you who have no sin, throw the stone. And then the Bible says this, that they went away from the oldest to the youngest, which means this, he will forgive you of your sins, from your oldest sin to your youngest sin, from your oldest problem to your newest problem. There's redemption for you. There's healing for you. There's restoration for you. Oh, come on. You never pick up stones when you are dealing with the Rock of Ages. And the Bible says, and they leave their stones. And he stands up and he says, where are your accusers? Where are your accusers? In the original language, where is Satan inside of people? Where is Satanas? Where is Satan? He says, nowhere, Lord. He says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Oh, come on, give Jesus Christ a praise offering. Oh, come on, come on. And so this is what I want you to understand this morning. This is what I want you to get. This is what I want you to have. This is what you must receive this morning. I need to land this. This is what you need to receive. Because all of us were slaves to sin. The Bible says nobody, all of us fall short of the glory of God. Every single one of us. And all of us stood on that selling block. And people were bidding for us, and the devil were bidding the loudest. He says, I want them. I want them bound. I want them living less than their potential. I want to hold them back. And the year stands. You have to understand it. Here stands Gomer. She's naked. She's ashamed. She's trying to hide herself. That sounds like Genesis. That sounds like somebody else. Adam said, I was naked. I was afraid. And I hid myself. Hosea through Gomer says, she's naked, she had to be afraid, she's trying to cover herself, and people are just being on her. I'll pay that, I'll buy that, I'll want that. And now we see two pictures here being emulated in the Bible. In the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, God goes and he says, Adam, where are you? Where are you? Adam says, I'm naked, I'm afraid, I hate myself. I want you to see, it's not Adam looking for God, it's God looking for Adam. Now, here stands Gomer, naked, ashamed, trying to hide herself. Picture this, a mob of people screaming, I'll pay, I'll pay. And suddenly, the voice of love, the voice of redemption, the voice of healing roars through the crowd. He says, I'll pay. And they drive up the price. He says, I'll pay. And they drive up even more. And he goes for a lot. The Bible says he goes for 15 shekels of silver, which means grace. 1.5 homers of barley, which means a full price tag. And you need to know this morning that that's exactly what Jesus came to do. The enemy wanted you. And as he wanted you, the enemy drove up that price more and more and more and more and more and more. And Jesus hangs on the cross. This is how you get your roar back. Jesus hangs on the cross. The Father's full wrath is poured on him. Full wrath is poured upon the Son. The Son hangs. And the Son says, my Father, why have you forsaken me? Why does Jesus say this? Because for the first time in his whole life, all the judgment of the world is placed on him. He gets separated from the Son. He gets separated from the Father. And for the first time, he's alone. And then the Bible says, come on. Then the Bible says, suddenly, when the full wrath is on the Son, the full wrath is poured, he hears the command of heaven. It's finished. You did it. And the Son roars. He roars. Just change the tune. He roars. He roars. It is finished. And the Bible says, at the mention of those words, it is finished. He splits the rocks. He tears the garment that separated the Holy of Holies from the rest of the people. He restores the roar back to his people. Because he came to seek worshipers. He came to seek out you and me. John 4:23. He came to seek a people that will roar again, that will shout his name again, that will lift up his name again. That is why in this hour, in this moment, we have to be a people that restores the roar. We have to be a people that say, no devil, it is finished. Listen, you have to look your sickness in the eye and say, it is finished. You have to look your poverty in the eye and say, it is. You have to look your past in the eye and say, the devil might have had a sentence. He might have two sentences. But God is the Alpha. He's the beginning. He's the author. So here's the bottom line. The devil doesn't get to write your story. Oh, come on. No. Empower. The devil doesn't get to write your story. You can say this morning, but I've had prostitution in my life. No, prostitution interrupted you. You might be like Zacchaeus and you might have stole some stuff. Well, repent and give it back. You might be like Mary. And you are tired and weary of all the fake stuff. And you want to break your alabaster jar on Jesus. You might be like Lazarus, a dead case. You might be like Joseph, feeling like your dream is locked up. You might be like Simon, that betrayed Jesus and are still running away. I don't know who you are, but I do know this. That there's a real Hosea and his name is Jesus. And he will restore you and he will heal you as if it never happened. Listen, the awesome thing about God is this. He doesn't just change you, he renews you. He doesn't just restore you, he redeems you. He doesn't just shape you, he molds you. He doesn't just leave you, he makes you. He is the God that is the God that is not enough. He is the God that is too much. And so all that you need to do this morning, you need to say, it is finished. And you have to say, it's not over. I don't know what I've bitten you, but I know what you can shake off. I know you can shake off all the bites. I know you can shake off all the circumstances. I know you can shake off all the pain. I know you can shake off everything that has happened to you. Because again I say, it is not what has happened to you, it's what's going to happen through you. And as you sit here this morning, you have to say, it's not over. Oh, when you swim in that sea and you fight, You shout to yourself, it's not over. When you build that fire, you say to yourself, it's not over. When that snake bites you, you say to yourself, it's not over. Because it's not over. And here's the final piece of that story. The end of Paul's story is this, that God uses the bite mark to heal the whole town. And the whole town blesses Paul so much that it sets him up for his whole ministry. And so here's the final thought from me. God will take what has happened to you. He will put Jesus into the mix. He will heal that. He'll restore it. He'll bring you back home. The Father's heart is He's standing on the top of the hill and He's looking for you. And as you come back home, He is saying, it's never been over. You might be sitting here this morning and say, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. I don't care, because He does not hold your past against you. There's nothing that you could have done that is beyond the power of the blood. Are you there? And all that you need to say this morning, worship team, come, is you need to say, it's not over. Because there's a voice shouting your name. There's a voice shouting for you that are His beloved. It's the voice of Jesus. It's the voice of the Savior. It's not over. Come on, let's give Jesus Christ a praise offering. Come on, you can do better than that. And so this morning, what I want to do, as the worship team returns, what I want to do this morning, is you've sat here, all of this will mean nothing unless you come home. God wants His children back home. God wants you back. And again, there's many types of stories there. There's Mary that were at her end. She needed to break everything she had to wash it on Jesus. You might feel like betraying Peter. You've messed up. Time to come back home. You might feel like Saul. You have a calling in your life, but you've run away from God. You will not be able to run away from your call, by the way. He will get you. Wherever you are, He'll show up. It's true. Wherever you are, there's many people that sometimes think they are parting now. He'll show up. Can't run away from God. You can try, but God will find you. So I want to take a moment this morning, and I want to get, this is Harvest Sunday, is it not? And we need to get people back to Jesus. So I want you to lift your hands just for a moment, and I want to pray a prayer. And I want to get you back to the Master. Father, I pray in this service this morning, Father, we want to ask You right now, and everybody that is online of me as well, everybody that's online, if you don't know Jesus this morning and if you need to come back home, then it's time to come. Won't you comment your names as you watch online? Everybody that's in the house, everybody that's online, I want you to pray this prayer. I don't know where you are, but it's time for you to come back home. So pray this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to You this morning. I recognize my need of salvation. I repent of my sins. I acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as my only Lord, as my Savior, as my Redeemer. Lord Jesus, save my life, heal my life in this day, in Jesus' name. Forgive me of all of my trespasses. Heal me from all of my iniquities. In this day I pray, in Jesus' name. Now I want, as the people online first, if you prayed that prayer, please comment. Now I want people in the house, if you prayed that prayer, I need 20 seconds of boldness from you. 20 seconds of boldness. Or write your name eternally in His book of life. 20 seconds of boldness. The Bible says, whosoever recognizes Jesus in front of man will be recognized by Jesus in front of the Father. If you prayed that prayer and you are coming home this morning, I want you just to step out of your seat and come to me, please. Come on, come back home. Come back home. Come back home. Come on. Come in power. Let's celebrate our brothers and our sisters that are coming back home. Yeah. Yeah, come on. Give them a praise as they come. Heaven is rejoicing. We are rejoicing. Come. Come, there's more that needs to be saved. There's more here that needs to be saved. Come, come, come. Yeah, that needs to be saved. Come. Come, guys. 20 seconds of bravery. Yeah, come. Come on, church. Come on, church. I want you to check. Ask your neighbor, are you saved? Everybody in church, ask your neighbor, are you saved? Are you saved? Are you saved? If there are people that are not born again, get them here. Yes, Lord. There's more people. I'm going to wait 10 seconds, 15 seconds. Come this morning. Come, be reborn. Come and empower. Let's celebrate people coming back home. Come on, let's celebrate. Everybody that's online, won't you comment your names? I see so many people commenting. Come, I like it. Come, there's the children are coming. The children are coming. Come. Come. Come this morning. Come on, the children are getting saved. Check your neighbor just one more time. Say, are you saved? Check your neighbor one more time while you say. Power, can I ask you to stretch out your hands to everybody that's online as well? Let's just stretch out our hands. Heaven is rejoicing. If you could hear heaven right now, heaven will be shouting, screaming, rejoicing. So as we're getting your particulars and things, I just want to pray a prayer and then we can. Everybody, let's everybody pray with us. Everybody stretch out your hands. Everybody online, stretch out your hands as well. There we are. Just throw up the emoji for me. Pray with me. Say, Father, I thank you that my name is written in your book of life. Thank you that nothing but nothing can ever separate me from your great love. Thank you that my name is written permanently in the Lamb's book of life. I receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord, as my Savior, as my Redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Oh, let's just take a moment. All hands up. Let's just recognize Jesus. He's here. He's always here when people get saved. Father, we celebrate heaven this morning. We celebrate Jesus. We celebrate the one that was and is to come. We celebrate this morning. As all of these people are getting saved, we celebrate in Jesus' name. Father, we just want to honor you and bless you for this, in this day, in Jesus' name. Lord, and everybody watching online as well, I see all these names running. I thank you for everybody that, wherever they're watching me from this morning, that they get saved in this day, in Jesus' name. Yes. I feel like the Lord just wants to give you a moment. Everybody, won't you just lift your hands? Won't everybody just lift your hands? Close your eyes just for 30 seconds. Let's just have a moment of Jesus. Just have a moment. Just have a moment. Come on, He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. People online, I see you coming. He loves you. For the best is yet to come. I've not brought you this far, says the Lord, to destroy you. I've not brought you this far to bring you any harm. I've brought you to heal you, to reshape you, to rename you. And I tell you the truth, restoration is in your tomorrow. And I will repay that what the enemy has done. Yes, I will. And whatever the enemy has tried against you, I will pay you back, says the Lord. If he's tried to shame you, I will rename you. If he's tried to wounded you, I will heal you. If he's tried to blame you, I will reshape you. And I will bring you back. And I will call you my beloved. And I will call you my loved one. I will call you mine. And in this hour, says the Spirit of the Lord, know that I have nothing against you. I don't have your past against you. I don't have your history against you. I have nothing against you. But as you enter into the year 2022, which is a couple of months away, you will see double restoration. You will see a restoration that you have never seen before. For I will move ahead of you, says the Lord. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Whosoever believes in me will never see death, but will have eternal life. And I tell you the truth, I'm the soon coming King. And I am the one that they call Emmanuel. I am the one that they call Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I am Jesus and I am your God. I'm the one that was. I'm the one that is. I'm the soon coming King. And I tell you the truth this morning as a testimony to you, it's not over. In Jesus' name, we receive that, Father. Come on, if that's you. Come on. Have we captured everybody's names? Okay. We've captured everybody's name. Won't you empower, won't you just give everybody a God bless you that God saved this morning. Thank you for our pastoral team. God bless you as you take your seats just for a moment. Amen. Are you ready to celebrate Jesus? No. Are you ready to celebrate Jesus? As Pastor Ira comes, he comes onto the stage. I want to invite every single one of you, every single one of you that are online of us, Cape Town, it's time to minister. Secunda, it's time to minister. Durban, it's time to minister. Don't let the people go without getting people saved. Amen. And I want to encourage every single one of you this morning that the best is yet to come. Amen. Come on. And so as part of what we do this morning, let's give to the Lord. Let's bless the Lord of our giving. Amen. Let's love on Jesus this morning with our giving and our tithes and our offerings. And I want to bless the Lord this morning. And I want to encourage each and every one of you, don't run home this morning. I want the people to stay with us, celebrate Jesus with us, celebrate harvest with us. There's so much more that He wants to do. Amen. You're welcome to go and give to the Lord. And I will see you in a moment from now. Thank you so much, Pastor Eric. And I want us to celebrate Jesus today. Can we do that just one more time as Pastor Eric comes? Won't you just across the auditorium, everybody online, won't you just celebrate Jesus? Come on. Won't you take a stand just for one moment? Come on, just 20 seconds. I just want you to celebrate Him well. Come on, celebrate the King. Come on, empower.
If you've been impacted by this ministry in any way, we want to encourage you to partner with us financially and help us continue delivering God's word all around the world. Visit www.empowerchurch.co.za and find the giving option that works best for you, as well as some of our latest resources. Thank you again for joining us. Now go and live an empowered life.